Selling Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. Now, it's time to go deep for the exclusive info you need on the hockey team you love. This is Preds Insiders with your host, Ryan Porth.
Brought to you by Dr. Kelly Rice, Family Cosmetic and Dental Sleep Medicine, Wyatt Johnson Ford, Geno's East, Downtown Nashville, and OsteoStrong Nashville.
On your flagship home of the Predators Radio Network, Smashville's best sports talk.
ESPN.
102.5 The Game.
Welcome into another edition of Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth, pleased to be joined by Darren McFarland this evening, co-host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, weekdays 10 to 2, ESPN 102.5 The Game. You can also hear Darren on the pre- and post-game show for the Nashville Predators Radio Network. We don't know when the next time will be that we will hear Darren on said pre- and post-game show as we wait to figure out what's going to happen with this upcoming NHL season. But Darren, how are we doing this evening?
Good, Ryan. How are you? It gets darker earlier and earlier and earlier. Before you know it, it'll be pitch black well before this hour. And that makes me sad.
Well, you know what's interesting is that there should be regular season hockey going on right now. Like when the baseball playoffs are going on, when the NFL season is in weeks 5, 6, and 7, the NHL season should be going on. This calendar of 2020 has been thrown off so much. You know, I'm seeing tweets of, you know, 1 year ago today, this happened, and it was, someone's debut with X team, and now we're just sitting and waiting to hear what's going to happen with next season.
Yeah, my son just turned 9 last week, and we went out on fall break. We went away for the first time since he's been born, because fall break meant nothing to our family, because I was working. So for the first time since I've been on the post and or at the post doing what I'm doing for the radio network, I've never been able to go away for fall break or spring break. Those two things have meant nothing to our house since Maddox was born. But, yeah, we decided, hey, well, I guess there's no hockey. I don't know what it's like to actually go do something. Everybody else does something on fall break, so we decided we were going to go do something. So it is. It's still very strange, and like you said, still not 100% sure. I don't know what the percentage is sure of when we guess or think hockey the next season will start up, but I guess we're leaning toward January 1, right?
Today we are. As 2020 has gone, well, it's subject to change. I mean, for January 1 to actually happen, I would probably put it at 50-50 at best.
By the way, do we call it the 2020-21 season, or is it just going to be the 2021 season?
Well, the lockout shortened season back in the 2012-2013 season, Darren, is still referred to as the 12-13 season, even though they started in late January.
Yeah, in 13. Okay.
So when it comes to next season, this is a segue. We know Doc Emmerich will not be on the call for NBC Sports Network, as Doc Emmerich announced today his retirement from hockey broadcasting.
Teardrops.
Yeah, I did not expect that. Obviously, Doc Emmerich at 74, at some point, you're going to retire. I think a lot of people said that about Vin Scully for years, and he just kept at it. But Doc Emmerich retiring today, after 47 years of being in the broadcasting world, a lot of time in the National Hockey League, spent number of years as the voice of the New Jersey Devils before transitioning to just the National Hockey League for NBC. And Darren, I don't know about you, but Doc is someone who we've gotten to know a few times in our years of traveling to see the Preds in different destinations. A, he's possibly the nicest human ever, and B, he was an absolute artist in the booth with his vocabulary, with his way of capturing the moment, whether it was overtime or the Olympics. Doc always hit the nail on the head when it came to broadcasting a hockey game, and I know I'm going to miss that, you're going to miss that, and all of hockey fans are going to miss that.
I say this with all due respect to Mike Doc Emrick. Being around him, the times that I've been around him, I feel worse as a human being. Like I look at myself in the mirror and I go, man, you could do so much better. And I'm not talking about career-wise. I'm talking about just like human being-wise. Like, he's Mike Doc Emrick, and you are who you are. And why do I feel less of a person, or I need to work on me after being around him? Because that's the way I feel. That's how much of an incredible human being. I feel like I've got more to give after being around him, because if he can give out his phone number or email address like Halloween candy, you know, I need to do more with, you know, people in this business, youth. And I've done stuff in the past, but, man, I just never feel satisfied as a human being about myself after being around him. Forget his body of work. Forget about the broadcasting part. That goes without saying. I'm just talking about the person. And he's always been the same. Always. Which says a lot about him. He's always been consistently the same person year after year when our paths would cross. And he's just as genuine as they get. He's a Hall of Famer broadcaster. He's basically in every Hall of Fame he could possibly get. He's in. And rightfully so. He's the best that's ever done it in the National Hockey League. And I could listen to Doc Emrick call hockey games for the rest of my life. And I would be totally satisfied. That's how good he is. But I brought it up today on Darren Donick and Chase. You know, I'll never forget the time where you set up an interview with him. We were both at the United Center in Chicago. It was going to be around a Predators morning skate. This is, of course, in lieu of round one playoff series, games 1 and 2 in Chicago versus the Blackhawks.
And this was the morning of game two.
This is the morning of game two after the Predators had just come off a shutout of Chicago. And what would be the follow-up for game two? But you set that up. We're sitting there. I'm just sitting there in a seat in the United Center next to him. And you got to see us just sit there and talk. And what a treat that was. And, you know, he's the kind of guy, once again, going back to the human being part, he never acts like he's too busy for you. He never acts like, hey, I got a lot more important things to do, so let's get on with it. He'll sit around. He'll talk with you before the interview. He'll sit around and talk with you after the interview. He's just like that. But that was the first time I'd also – I remember sitting there holding the recorder and going, did Doc Emrick just give out his email address for everybody to write down and encourage them to email him? Like, I never – you know, the hundreds if not thousands of interviews I've done over the years, I'd never heard, you know, that happen before. That's never happened to me on my watch until that – 2017 moment in Chicago at the United Center in April.
Well, it's funny you bring that up, because I dove into the archives today knowing that you were going to be on this show and knowing the news of the day in the National Hockey League that Doc Emrick had retired from broadcasting. I dove into the archives and found that pregame interview that you did with Doc. And you have alluded to it a couple times of him giving out his email. So you ask him a question. We're about to hear the audio. You ask him a question, and he takes it a completely different way, and it is the most selfless thing I may have ever heard in an interview. Here is the audio we're discussing.
Mike Doc Emrick here with us, lead NHL play-by-play guy for NBC. So many times when you ask people about who they want to hear on the call, you're their reference. You're the gold standard. By the way, that's a good way to use it on our Predators pregame show, the gold standard. Who would be somebody, if we asked you that question, Mike, who was somebody that you pay attention to their play-by-play? Who gets your attention?
Oh, there are a lot of guys out there that are really good at this. I would hesitate to say, because I'd leave somebody out. But I'll tell you this, I'll sing or do something for 10 seconds while people get a pen if they want to write down my email address. I actually like hearing calls from kids that want to do this someday, because I was just noticing, I believe it was in one of the four Gospels, but it may have been in the Old Testament last week, that hockey announcers don't do their job forever and eventually they go off to the great beyond. And we need new blood coming in. And we have plenty of people that do this, but I love listening to kids that want to do this for a living because it's a wonderful way to get through life. Getting to watch hockey games for free? They give you a good seat for the game? You get in free. And later on, I learned they send you something in the mail twice a month, and you get to work with the best athletes. So here it comes, HKY, as in yarn, D as in David, OX, at earthlink.net. If you're an ambitious kid that wants to share with me a sample of your work, please get in touch with me. And I usually listen to these in August. And I will tell you that some of the guys 15 years ago who sent me CDs are in the National Hockey League. And that's not an attribution to me. That's the fact that they were ambitious. They kept practicing and getting better at it. And good for them. So I am happy to do that. I've made this offer before. I like listening to ambitious people that want to do this someday. And the standard of broadcasting in this league is really, really high right now.
That was Doc Emmerich the morning of Game 2 at the United Center in 2017. I thought it was, knowing the news of the day today, Darren, I thought it was fitting how he threw in there 3 years ago, over 3 years ago, of we all know our time comes to an end at some point. So he wants to pass down his knowledge and his expertise on the broadcasting world to the younger individuals that are the future. And to hear him say that 3.5 years ago, and knowing what we heard today of him retiring, I think that makes it, I guess, that much more fitting to hear him go through all of that.
I should have followed up with having him sing because he offered to sing.
I was about to say, that was the only thing I was disappointed with in that answer. He didn't sing.
He didn't sing. And so he did a great job of stalling.
I'm sure he'd be a damn good singer, too.
Probably so. But I now hearing that again for the first time in 3+ years, I probably should have pressed him on the singing part. He offered it up. It wasn't my suggestion. I should have pressed Doc Emmerich on the singing part. I guess he would have given us 10 seconds. He did say, you know, you've got 10 seconds to grab a pen and paper, and I'll even sing. But maybe I should have followed up with that. That was an error on me. But, you know, it also brings up just the last memory of Mike Doc Emmerich is when we were in Dallas at the Winter Classic to start off 2020, which we thought was going to be a great year. I mean, does it get any better starting off a new year at the Winter Classic, you know, at the Cotton Bowl? I mean, we're thinking, man, 2020 is going to be great.
Yeah.
Wrong answer. Well, it got off to a great start, but you know, he stopped by. Yeah. It was New Year's. In fact, actually, this would have been still technically 2019, right?
It was practice day.
This was our New Year's Eve show when we went live in the afternoon for our show. And he was nice enough to stop by and hang out. And you remember afterwards still talking to us, taking pictures. And I'll treasure it even more now, knowing we had no idea. Mm-hmm. And who knows? I mean, that may be the last time our paths ever cross. And I'll now treasure that moment in Dallas at the Cotton Bowl a little bit closer to my heart, knowing that may be the last time that my path ever crosses with a legend. But I'll also never forget that day now. And I'll think about it a little bit more, knowing how cool that was at the moment. And knowing that... who knows? Who knew that that was his last year, you know, when we talked to him?
Well, hats off to Doc Emmerich for an incredible broadcasting career in the National Hockey League. And his calls of these games will certainly be missed. But hopefully he does make some cameo appearances along the way. And we haven't heard the last waffle boarded away or rang it off the pipe with the shot. Hopefully we haven't heard the last of that from Doc moving forward. But coming up next, we will get Darren McFarland's take on kind of this new-look roster for the Nashville Predators as the offseason is well underway. The Preds have made a lot of moves here in the last couple weeks. We'll get Darren's takes on all of those moves coming up next. He's Darren McFarland of Darren, Donick, and Chase. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game National app. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, right here at ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Preds Insiders brought to you every Monday by Dr. Kelly Rice. Visit KellyERice.com. Nashville's number one Ford dealer, Wyatt Johnson Ford. Geno's East on the corner of 3rd Avenue and Korean Veterans Boulevard. And Osteo Strong Nashville. Ryan Porth joined by Darren McFarland this evening here on Preds Insiders. Darren, the co-host of Darren, Donick, and Chase. Weekdays 10 to 2, ESPN 102.5 The Game. And Darren, the Preds have certainly been busy here in the last couple weeks. David Poile promised at the start of the offseason that there would be changes. And boy, have there been changes. So far, out is Nick Bonino, Kyle Turris, Craig Smith, Austin Watson, Mikal Granlund. In, the new faces, Luke Cunningham, Nick Cousins, Mark Borowiecki, Matt Benning, and Brad Richardson. Whew, okay, I'm done. But we don't
know. Forget Yannick Weber, Corbinian Holzer, yes. Dan Hamhuis, Colin Blackwell.
The list goes on and on and on and on and on. It has 100% been a busy offseason for David Poile. For you, Darren, what has been kind of your opinion on watching these dominoes unfold here in the last couple weeks and this team really take kind of a new shape this offseason?
Well, what is my take is David Poile has done what I thought he would do. I mean, there's really no surprise to me in anything we just said out loud right there. The only surprise for me, if I'm being totally honest, is, I didn't foresee a Nick Bonino trade. I didn't think it was crazy that Nick Bonino might not be in the mix or the fold for next year, but I certainly would have thought he would have been last on that list to be moved. So there was a little bit of a surprise or shock factor to that trade with Minnesota for Luke Cunningham. I certainly understand it. The other stuff, for all the Predators fans who have reached out to me via social media or what have you, running into them text-wise, what have you, expressing their concerns or, I guess concern is the best word. Their concerns about this offseason, I've turned it around and said, well, what's a surprise to you? I mean, Kyle Turris, we've been talking about all offseason. I mean, did you think that there wasn't a chance he would be bought out? I mean, I think it's pretty clear that there was a real good chance that they were going to try to trade him, and they probably weren't going to find a suitor, and then they were going to have to buy him out. Craig Smith and Mikael Granlund, I think they would like to have them back, but you just knew it was going to be an offseason of change, and I fully expect it, as much as it's painful, especially with Craig Smith, who a guy that I've gotten to know really well over the years and really love dealing with, and I think he's a very consistent player, and you know what you're getting out of Craig Smith year in and year out. I'm not surprised at all that neither one of them are back. Austin Watson, I think you know, his time has just been diminished. Every game, every week, it just seems like, he seems to be less and less in the plans, even though I know he just got a new deal.
Especially with John Hines. When Hines took over as head coach, it felt like Austin Watson's role definitely took a hit. And there were times in the playoffs where we thought he was going to get benched, because he wasn't getting shorthanded ice time, and we're sitting here like, okay, well, if Austin Watson isn't getting shorthanded ice time, then what is his role?
Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. Dan Hamhuis, who we knew would retire. Yannick Weber was a UFA, so you knew that he was not going to be back. I think their third D pairing has gotten a lot better, as much as I like all those guys that we just talked about. I think the play on the ice, I think the third D pairing got a significant upgrade. So I'm just not – I guess what I'm getting at is I'm not surprised by anything. Did this team need to get younger? What's your answer?
Yes.
Yes.
And they got younger.
Did they get younger? Yes. Did they need to change it up, or did it need to be status quo? They needed to change it up, so they've done that. I think just did they need to free up money? Yes. I just think all the moves, did they need to get tougher? Did they need to get a little bit nastier?
Harder to play against.
I said this from day one. The minute they were the first show back after they were eliminated by the Coyotes, the first thing I said is the bottom line is this team has got to get more 40-grit sandpaper players. They do. They're just not tough enough to play against. Right now, I think they get pushed around too much. They're just – I hate using the word soft. That kind of leaves a negative –
has a bad connotation.
Yeah. And so I don't like to – I hesitate to use that word. But they just needed a little bit more – guys that are willing to stick their nose in there. I don't want guys that are going to go over the line, but guys that are willing to get under people's skin and not go over the line. I know that's a fine balance, but have they done that? Yes. So has it been a sexy offseason? No, it is not. Has it been a typical David Poyle offseason? No, there is no big whoa.
Well, there's no big
wow factor to this offseason, which people have been accustomed to over the last several years.
Well, you will say, though, that this feels like a, you know, first half of the Predators' existence type of offseason, right? I mean, yes, there have been some big moves here in the last 5 years where, you know, P.K. Subban for Shea Weber, big signings, Matt Duchene. But, I mean, pre-2012, I mean, there were a lot of off seasons where this was it. I mean, this off season reminds me of the 20, what would it have been? The 2013 off season, I think it was, where he went out and signed Matt Cullen and Eric Nystrom and Matt Hendricks and Victor Stahlberg. Mm-hmm. This offseason reminds me a lot more of that kind of offseason than it does of trying to make a splash. And I think some people are surprised that there hasn't been a splash yet, because the obvious hole on the depth chart right now is on the second line. The second line seems to still be a work in progress like it has been in recent years, where, yes, they have addressed some needs like getting younger and getting harder to play against. Certainly addressed that on the third pair defensively, which, thank God, because I didn't feel like they put enough stock into the third pair defensively here in the last few years. And also the bottom six and getting some younger, grittier players. But there's an obvious hole on the second line. And a lot of people were clamoring for Taylor Hall, and you weren't. You were one of the few that was not clamoring for Taylor Hall. And I know you've said on the air with Darren Donick and Chase that, you know, a big reason for that is not to get another big contract, trying to get away from giving out 6 or 7 year deals, which he only signed a 1 year deal. But the other fact of it is that you thought maybe that Taylor Hall was a little overrated. But there is that hole on the second line. Would you agree? Even though they have checked off some boxes.
I mean, okay, let me ask you something. Is there any chance the second line is going to get worse?
I don't know how it could get worse.
Okay, right.
But I don't know if it got better. But
it can't get worse, and probably it's got a real good shot to what? Get better, right? So how can it be worse? It's got a real shot with some unknowns to get better. I look at it a little bit different. I know we're probably going to disagree on some of this. I was not in favor of Taylor Hall. And I've said it. I've been pretty consistent with this. They just simply need to get out of the business of 6 and 7 year long-term deals, big contracts. They just need to let that breathe for a while. Let's just table that and put that over. And let
they have
it idle.
Enough of them.
Stick it in neutral for a while. They got enough of those, okay? They don't need – everybody on the team doesn't need a big, long, fat contract, okay? And so they haven't done that this offseason. And maybe the economy and, you know, everything that we know, they're not good – teams are not going to make the money. Maybe they made the decision for them. I'm not so sure we would have seen it anyway. But Taylor Hall, and people can disagree, and that's fine. I just have always felt he's overrated. He's just a tad bit overrated. And I don't think the Predators need to be winning any more press conferences. They've won press conferences. And I don't think, you know, there was a time, you brought up the early days, there was a time when they desperately needed a big name because the fan base was saying, okay, it's time. And finally they got it with Paul Kariya, right? That's kind of what started the ball rolling. And I knew at that time they needed that. Because the fan base had paid their dues. They've been there cheering them on, and it was a startup franchise. And, yes, the Predators didn't get the luxury like Vegas and Seattle will get. They had to actually do the slow climb, right? There was no fast climb. And so it was time. But they've been doing all that for the last 5 years. There's been tons of splashes. And so it's okay not to have a big splash. I think where we're probably going to differ, I don't know for sure because we have not talked – really at length about this, but I've also been, and this is not negative, but it's just how I feel. Like, to me, and I feel this way about anybody with a big, long contract. If you're getting paid like a star, then you should be a star. And I don't think you're supposed to prop up stars. I think stars are supposed to prop up everybody else. And if you're getting paid like a star, I start bristling when I hear the constant chatter of, you've got to give that star help. Stars don't need help. Stars help others. And it probably isn't fair to Matt Duchene, because this stuff started with Marcus Mariota in another sport in this market with the Titans, and I used to really bristle because all I ever heard was how the Titans need to prop up their so-called star quarterback. And if he was a star quarterback and a franchise quarterback, you don't need to constantly prop him up. He should be propping up everybody around him. And so, as we've seen, that was the case. And he really wasn't a star quarterback like they tried to present it for years, that I kind of pushed back on. I needed to see it. And Matt Duchene is getting treated and paid like a star in this league. And I think Matt Duchene is a tremendous player. And I don't have any regret about the signing. I'm glad he's here. It's finally happened. The Predators fan base was clamoring for it for years. He's here now. He's been here for a full season. But now I'm starting to bristle at the constant, that line, which we know Matt Duchene will center, needs to be constantly propped up. Well, maybe Matt Duchene should prop up that line. Like, maybe he needs to do a little bit more. He's getting paid to prop up that line, in my opinion. Do you agree or disagree?
So I totally see where you're going with that, and I do agree with it to an extent. Where I would disagree, and where I'm going to fall back on your Marcus Mariota comparison, is there was a time where it became obvious that Marcus Mariota was not that quarterback that you're talking about. Of, you know, if he's going to be paid like the star quarterback, then he needs to be one and make his teammates better and not try to continuously build around him and prop him up.
And I was probably the first person in this market to identify that, and I took a lot of heat for it.
Sure.
It was called a hater and everything else. And, of course, nobody is saying that now.
So there was a point in time where we knew that had to be the case with Marcus Mariota, no matter what he was making, no matter where he was drafted, right? That, okay, well, if he's not going to be good enough to do this, then we actually do have to go out and get pieces to surround Marcus Mariota, right? I mean, I don't know if you can just year after year after year just expect, if you don't feel like it's happening or going to happen, to continuously just rely on Marcus Mariota to prop up others when it's just not happening, right? So at some point the mentality changes to, all right, well then I guess we have to get pieces around this guy for this guy to succeed.
And then he's not a star.
Well,
period.
Sure.
Star players don't need help.
Sure.
Star players do it on their own.
He rarely played like a star. I mean, there was one season where he was great, and we're getting into a Titans thing. But my point is,
Nathan MacKinnon doesn't need help. Nathan MacKinnon builds up everybody around him. The star players build up everybody around him, no matter who they are.
Sure. But I understand Matt Duchene is getting paid like a star, but there is evidence within Matt Duchene's career that he does not prop up his line mates, that he needs star players around him for him to play at his absolute best. And if I'm David Poyle and I know Matt Duchene, look, for whatever reason, Matt Duchene was David Poyle's white whale. I mean, he continuously tried to get him. He tried to trade for him with Colorado. Then he tried to trade for him with Ottawa. And then he got him in free agency. So there was obviously something over the years that David Poyle loved about Matt Duchene and wanted Matt Duchene in Nashville, right?
But, well, star players receive long contracts and big contracts, and if somebody who's getting paid like a star needs other star players around him, that seems like a pretty impossible task, because that's asking you to spend a whole lot of money. And if that's the case, then couldn't you make the case then he needs to go up to the first line and play with Forsberg and Arvidsson, and Johansson needs to slide to the second line? Because if he has to be around stars to succeed, then I don't think it, I don't think that you're going to get your answer in this offseason. He's not going to get propped up with, you know, stars. I've got the air quotes up, stars sure. around him, because it's going to be probably young guys.
Well,
it just is.
Or a free agent bargain between now and the start of the season that...
Well, that won't that fit your description of a star then.
Well, no. But and I'm not saying that he needs, that Matt Duchene needs another star with him. But what I will say is, if you're going to go into the season with Colton Sissons or Luke Cunningham alongside Matt Duchene and Eli Tolvanen, you're not getting the best out of your big investment out of Matt Duchene. Like, if you want to get the absolute best out of Matt Duchene, you might want to go get another guy who Matt Duchene can play with on that second line, and not expect him to, even though you paid him like a star, and I hear what you're saying, Darren, even though you paid him like a star, I don't think you're going to get star level of play out of Matt Duchene unless he's surrounded by better talent or more proven talent on his, let's say, left wing. I understand Eli Tolvanen on the right wing. At some point, you have to give Tolvanen the chance and see if he sinks or swims. But my biggest issue with this roster right now is that they don't have another second-line player. And just to expect Matt Duchene going into next season to prop up whoever is on his left wing, or right wing for that matter, there isn't much evidence within his career that he's going to do that. So for me, if the evidence is there that he isn't going to do that, even though you paid him like a star, then you need to go find somebody that is going to be better with Matt Duchene and have Matt Duchene be more productive than, say, a Luke Cunningham or Colton Sissons on the left wing.
I would tell you that I'm willing to see what it looks like if it's Tolvanen and Cunningham. I'm willing to see what it looks like. Once again, I hearken back to, he had 13 goals last year. He had 13 goals and, what, 29 assists? He had 42 points. I mean, that's not good enough for a second-line centerman. And so I would say, when you said, how can it get worse? I would like to see it. To me, I am perfectly fine going into this season with what they have in place. And if they have to adjust and make a move, David Poile has adjusted their salary cap situation. He has said it. They're in a great position financially. Then you go out and make your move at the deadline. Of course, you also know a little bit more what you have in this year's team. Is it mm-hmm. worth it, or is it not worth it? But I'm willing to roll the dice. And look, I think Trennan deserves a chance. I think Tolvanen deserves a chance. I think they're going to give Rem Pitlick a chance. There are young guys that have been in their system that I think deserve. You need to know, and I don't know who's going to work and who's not. But it is time, in my opinion, especially with Trennan and Tolvanen, I think it's time to see what you have. And Pitlick, what do you have? Can they cut it at this level, at the highest level? Can they cut it night in and night out? Can they cut it for a long season? I'd like to know. I think they deserve to know. I think the players and this organization need to know, are they good enough or are they not good enough? And you won't ever know until you do it. And I'm fine doing it and seeing how it looks. And then at some point, maybe you have to take a step back and reassess and say, okay, it's working or it's not working. But I'm okay with going into, yeah, it's not going to be sexy because you don't have some big name off to the right and some big name off to the left that you went out and brought in the offseason to stick on that second line. But I'm okay with what would be your best case scenario? What is your, in your opinion, the best with what they have right now you put on that line with Duchene?
With what they have right now and not yep. going out and getting
no,
anybody
no more.
Else.
Yeah, nobody else, just with what they have.
Well, with the progress that Luke Cunningham has made in his career with the Minnesota Wild, I would probably give him the shot first because Luke Cunningham is a grittier player. A lot of people compare him to maybe a younger version of Ryan Kesler. And if he is that and he checks those boxes, then Luke Cunningham can, you know, muck it up behind the net, in front of the net, and let Duchene and Tolvanen do their thing. what that does do, though, is put a lot of pressure on Tolvanen to perform. And it also puts a lot of pressure on Duchesne to carry that line, going back to, I don't know if he's a guy who carries a line with lesser talent around him.
But we also don't know what Tolvanen's going to look. Tolvanen is the wild card,
He is a huge wild card. He could come out here and score 10 goals next season. He could score 30.
Yeah. He's a huge wild card.
There's a low ceiling and there's a high, a low floor and a high ceiling with Tolvanen's potential and really not knowing where it's going to land.
And don't you think there's also the possibility? I mean, there's no doubt there's the possibility. Like, I don't think it's set in stone. That line, yes, that was reunited when they came back from the pause, and it looked very good in the playoffs, that first line. But you also know you've seen it moved around. Like, it's not crazy to think Arvidsson or Forsberg could slide to that second line to help out. True?
Sure. Sure. I mean, John Hines might have to spread
options.
The wealth. I mean,
yeah.
You might have to go with, say, a Cali Yarncroak, Ryan Johansson, Victor Arvidsson line, or Forsberg, Johansson, Yarncroak, and then Arvidsson, Duchesne, and Tolvanen. I think a lot of people are set on the Jofa line, given what the Jofa line showed in the playoffs when they were put together again. So, but I do see what you're saying, that you might have to be flexible with that. But there is another concern I have with this that I want to get to on the other side. When it comes to the depth chart and the fact that it kind of looks like, at least for now, they are rolling with the roster that they have. We'll get to that coming up next. He's Darren McFarland. I'm Ryan Porth. You're listening to Preds Insiders right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in, Preds Insiders, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. Ryan Porth joined by Darren McFarland here this evening. Coming up at the top of the hour here on 102.5 The Game, it is the Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. He'll be joined by Derek Mason, Vanderbilt football coach, and athletic director Candace Story Lee. So it should be a fun episode of the Commodore Hour coming up at 7 o'clock right here at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, we've been talking about the Predators offense here for the bulk of this hour and the fact that they've made a lot of changes, and a lot of the changes addressed maybe the grittier side of things, the tougher to play against side of things, the defensive side of things. And when you look at the subtractions versus the additions, there hasn't been much of a gain offensively with this team, particularly on the second line. And Darren, you are willing to give a second line of Cunnin, Duchesne, and Tolvanen a shot,
yep,
to start next season, whenever that may be. Here's, and I'm a lot more on the side of not willing to go there. And here's another reason why I'm very skeptical of going into next season with the roster that they have, if they want to be more than just a bubble playoff team. And that is, they have had some injury issues with Victor Arvidsson and Philip Forsberg in the last few years. Victor Arvidsson has missed 36 games in the last two seasons. Philip Forsberg has missed 39 games in the last three seasons. What in the world happens if one of them goes down? There doesn't seem to be any insurance, at least from a goal-scoring perspective, on this roster. And that concerns me almost just as much as, you know, being very top-heavy with your big four of Forsberg, Johansson, Arvidsson, Duchesne, the wild card of Tolvanen, don't really know what you're going to get out of him, and then a bunch of middle six or bottom six forwards. On top of that concern is the fact that, what if one of these big horses go down? What if Arvidsson gets hurt? What if Robert Bortuzzo cross-checks him in the back again? What if Philip Forsberg comes down with another injury? There isn't much insurance on the depth chart for them to be able to sustain an injury and be able to win games by scoring three or four goals. That is a concern for me, that they don't have much depth right now when it comes to putting the puck in the net.
When you hear Predators general manager David Poile say it's time for them to get back to the Predator way, then what do you think when you hear that?
Well, I think of the old teams that were bubble playoff teams and barely got in and got bounced in the first round. That's what I think of the Predator way.
Well, I don't think that's what he meant.
No, but that's the first. You
bubble
asked me
teams
for the first
getting
thing.
Bounced in the first round. I don't think that's what he meant.
No, not for someone who the clock is ticking to win a Stanley Cup for the first time.
I'm pretty sure that's not what he meant.
But
so what
that's
do you
the
think
first time. That's the first thing that came to mind for me. To be completely honest, I think
let
Marty
rephrase.
Erat. When you think when you say Predator way, I think of Marty Erat. I think of David Legwand. I think of Denis Arkhipov. I think of those type players that played probably a line higher on this roster than they would on other rosters because of the situation they were in.
What do you think David meant? Not what Ryan Poore thinks. What do you think David meant by that?
By being a tougher team to play against.
Okay. So probably more defensive-minded, right?
Sure.
More defensive, responsible.
And they need to be that for
so
UC Saros, who's inconsistent, and Pekka-Rinne, who's getting old.
There you go. So that's what I'm getting at. So when you worry about them needing, I don't know where all those five goals or six goal games are going to come from. Well, remember the Dallas Stars? Remember when they were rely on 5 and 6 goals a game to win hockey games? How did those seasons turn out for them?
Well, not very good, and
didn't
work out very good for the Nashville Predators
what?
Either.
And then they did what? They got more responsible wear.
On the defensive side of the ice.
Yes, and then what happened?
They got better.
They got better. Ding, ding. Survey says, yes, the number one answer, they got better. Oh, by the way, they just represented the West. They're in the Stanley Cup final.
But they had more than 4 forwards, Darren, that could consistently be a threat offensively, right?
Dallas looked totally different than those years. Totally. They had no problems locking you down and beating you up, right? They're a totally different team, as we saw at the Winter Classic, as
sure.
we saw, you know, ironically, the Predators were actually playing really good at the end of the pause. And two of those games were against Dallas, two of their final three, and they resulted in 2 shutouts over the Stars. And the Stars went limping into the break and came out of the break limping, and then they got it all together. But they decided to change up. Their style wasn't working. By the way, still waiting for Edmonton and Toronto to get that memo because they still think outscoring people is going to work for them, and it hasn't worked.
Well,
so maybe at some point they will get better goaltending play, and at some point they'll get better defensively, and maybe they'll win more hockey games.
I do understand what you're saying there, but what I will say to that is that the Stars were able to adapt to whatever game they played. If they needed to win a game 1-0, they won a game 1-0. If they needed to win a game 5-4, they could do that because they had depth offensively where guys could put the puck in the net. I look at this roster right now with the Nashville Predators, and I struggle to see how this team is going to score goals consistently outside of the Jofa line. And we've said for years that you can't just rely on the Jofa line.
Okay, so I will counter with, do you think there's a chance Luke Cunnan scores just as many goals? He turns into Craig Smith. A full season, which will be his first. An actual full season. Do you think he's got a chance to flirt with 20, 21, 22, 23 goals, somewhere in that range?
I think that's the high end, but the low end is Ryan Hartman.
Okay. I think Luke Cunnan, what did he have last year? 15 goals in 62 or 3 games? I think Luke Cunnan can absolutely duplicate Craig Smith's goal scoring. I think there's that should be in the cards. Mikael Granlund, since here, well, I mean, what did you think? So if he was back, what do you think he's in position to get? Maybe 20 goals, maybe, right? The way he was playing here.
Scored 17 last season in 63 games. So he probably would have hit the 20-goal mark if they had concluded the season.
Flirted with 20 goals. Can Tolvanen do that with a full season?
We think so. But he's the wild card, right?
So I guess what I'm getting at is you're looking for more, and I understand that. I'm looking for more, too. They're looking for more, the organization, the front office, and the coaches. But you're worried about also a step back. I don't see the step back. I'm perfectly fine with this because I think these players can duplicate the production they were getting. Quite honestly, Matt Duchene needs to have more, right? So he should be better. The two guys on either side of him should at least duplicate what they've already been getting. And if he's better, then you haven't taken a step back. How about Philip Forsberg staying healthy and Philip Forsberg putting together a big year. Like, he's more than capable, right? The talent that he is. Victor Arvidsson staying healthier and putting together yet again another big year. Ryan Johansson, who really came on strong in the playoffs and played well, but he has a better regular season. So maybe, how about some of these guys also coming back and having better seasons?
There's a lot of ifs there.
There is, but isn't every season full of ifs? honestly, Craig Smith was like the only guy, really, we didn't have to say the if, because he was like the one steady Eddie. He basically produced the same every year, right? And
every
for some
year,
fans,
yeah.
It was enough, and for some fans, it wasn't, right?
Well, every year you knew what you were going to get, but I don't know if you knew every game. Like, he was pretty
hot. Well,
that's
the point. That's the point. And it would always end up being the same in the end when the smoke cleared, right?
Craig Smith was like a Katy Perry song. He was hot and cold.
Wow. Okay, that's Ryan Port that said that, so you can – I didn't say that.
Yeah, I get your point. Right.
And I'm fine with
and
that.
And he would go a month by scoring 10 – not 10, but 8 or 10 goals and look like he was on fire, and then the next month he'd score one or two and be snake bit.
Can I say this too? It's we often say that. Unless you're a 40-plus goal scorer every year or a year in a season, isn't everybody like that? Isn't that how it works? If you're scoring 20 goals a year, guess what? You're going to take weeks and a month off because you're not scoring.
Well,
that's how you end up with 20 goals in a season.
Sure, but it might be a little bit more spread out.
And the Predators have never even had a 40-goal scorer, so of course we don't know what it looks like to be consistent all year, because to be consistent all year is guys that have 40 and 50 goals. You know, the Kucherovs and those guys, Pasternak. I mean, that's what it looks like. Well, they've never had a guy like that, so... Of course it looks like what we are used to for 20-plus years, because they've never had any guy like that. Doesn't every guy fit that mold? If you're not the superstar in the league, then your body of work is going to be, gosh, where did they go for a couple of weeks?
Well, I mean, you can be a 20-goal scorer without being as streaky as Craig Smith, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm just pointing out the facts that there were some months where he was red hot and some months where he was ice cold.
I would say there's a lot of players that fit that mold in the NHL. I'm just saying. I know we focus on the ones in our market, but I would say in every hockey market, they probably say the same thing about this player on the roster and this player. I mean, there's probably a lot of guys that fit that bill. I'm just saying.
You're probably right, but I, at the same time, do you see my concern of there's not a whole lot of depth here? Like, great teams usually have two or three lines that can perform offensively on a nightly basis, or at least pose a threat. And I guess I'm very skeptical of Tolvanen and what he's actually going to do at the NHL level. I'm worried that he's going to be better on YouTube than he is on NHL ice. And I'm also worried that taking this approach and going almost to the extreme of addressing the grittiness after going maybe too far to the extreme of being too skilled, I worry there's not enough middle ground there. But I guess beggars can't be choosers, because I did want this team to look different. So.
Well, I think you're worried of the unknown, and that's fair. That's okay. There's a lot of Predators fans that are worried about the unknown.
And I would be worried.
You just don't know how these guys are going to play out. And so that then falls into the worrisome category. I get it.
I mean, look, if Duchesne was surrounded by Granlund and Smith and not Cunningham and Tolvanen, I would still have the same worries, because you know what Granlund and Smith are. And yes, Granlund is a nice player, wasn't a fit in Nashville. Craig Smith on some teams is a second liner, some teams is a third liner. But if that was your second line, Granlund, Duchesne, and Smith, I still would have some of the same concerns of what happens if Johansson goes down, or if Arvidsson goes down, or Forsberg goes down. They don't have insurance on this team if one of their big guns goes down.
Well, the thing that we've kind of left out of this discussion as we wrap it up is we've included, and I was probably guilty of this, including Craig Smith in this conversation, where he's been more of the third-line guy with Bonino and Grimaldi, where Granlund and Kyle Turris, and I don't know why it didn't work out for Kyle Turris. I just know that production-wise, it just didn't work out. Nice guy, great guy to deal with. It just did not work out here. It was a fail. I just ask you. So really the comparison should be Granlund and Turris. How do you not think they're going to get better production around Duchesne from whomever, fill in the blank, than what they were getting? I mean, like I said, I can't explain Kyle Turris. All I can explain is it didn't work here. I don't know why. It was a fail. And so how can you not expect to get better production with fill in the blank player, no matter who it is, from what they've been getting in the past? That's the way I look at it. I understand it's the unknown, but have a little faith that the unknown will do better.
Well,
that's the way I'm going to approach it until it looks different.
Darren McFarland,
you're going into it with a trick. I'm going into a treat with a Halloween reference. How about that?
That is a great way to end the show. So Darren McFarland, co-host of Darren, Donick, and Chase, weekdays 10 to 2 on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Darren, thank you as always for hanging out here on Preds Insiders, and hopefully we get some answers on the hockey season in the not-too-distant future.
No doubt about it. Always a pleasure. Thanks for the invite.
For Darren McFarland, I'm Ryan Poore. Thanks for listening to Preds Insiders here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Coming up next, it is the Commodore Hour with Joe Fisher. Keep it locked right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.